All right.
Well,
it's a great start, isn't it? I think Jesus is in the house. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Well, we've been walking with God, right? Or walking with Jesus. That's our
new
series that we're doing. We're walking with Jesus,
and we want a closer walk with Jesus, right? This thing keeps going in and out. All right. But anyway, I'll be okay, Chris. If it keeps going out, I'll change. Last week we were walking with Jesus, right?
We were walking with Jesus. We watched as Jesus called his disciples.
Amen? Amen.
That was pretty awesome.
If you weren't here last week, go online, your CBC
family.org, and you can
download the message and listen to it, and she kind of keep you caught up. But we watched as Jesus called his disciples and asked Peter to trust him, right?
He asked Peter to
trust him and push out into the deep waters.
And I asked you last week, I said,
how many are staying on the shallow waters and not pushing out into the deep, trusting God enough? And where is the blessing? Is it by the shore or is it out in the deep? It's out in the deep, right?
That's where we need to go. We need to
push out. We need to row out and trust God and throw out our nets.
Regardless of where we are in life and what our circumstances are, that's what we need to do.
And that was the message last week, basically. Just push out into the water.
Peter didn't see
a need to do that, right? Because he had toiled all night.
He just cleaned his nets. They were all nice and clean.
He didn't want to have to
throw them back out. But
because Jesus commanded him to do it, or said do it, he obeyed him.
And we saw by trusting Jesus, Peter received a great blessing. A great blessing. Probably the biggest, most amazing catch of his entire career he had right there. Filled two boats up.
When did that happen? Before he was obedient or after he was obedient? After he was obedient. Everybody says, God, if you will, then I will. Okay?
If and then.
That's what we said. God, if you get me this whatever it is that you're asking for, then I'll go to church every Sunday morning, or I'll do this, or I'll
start giving.
God, once you give me that $1 million in the checkbook, it'll be easy for me to tithe.
Right?
No, he wants your obedience now.
He wants you to
give now.
Not when you get,
but to do it now. Then we watched as Peter left everything alone with Andrew.
Everything.
He left that whole, those two boats
full of fish
that could be worth a lot of money. He left them with Andrew, James, and John
to become
fishers of men. Remember we said last week,
he was a fisher of fish, right?
And he brought the fish from life to death.
And
Jesus said, no, I want you to be fishers of men. I want you to bring men from death to life. And that's what we are to do.
But it was
a life-changing call.
It's always a life-changing call when Jesus calls you.
When Jesus comes knocking on the door, guess what? You can be sure it's going to be something
that's going to change your life forever and ever. It will.
It just does.
It's the way it's supposed to work,
right? Not everything's going to be okay and nice and flowery and we have all this money and all this stuff and never have any troubles. You know, after all, when I thought
I became a pastor, that was it.
Man, I had it. No troubles after that.
That's when the troubles started. They just begun, right?
From the moment when these men surrendered to Jesus' invitation to follow him, they would experience some amazing things. And I think that watching the amazing things that happen in your lives and in my life is just worth everything. These three men,
Peter, James, and John,
were the closest to Jesus. They were in the inner circle.
They were the ones
that were with him a lot, okay?
Not that they were showing him any special treatment or whatever, but they were in
that inner circle.
They were with him
when he raised Jairus'
daughter.
They were from the dead. They were
present with him
at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Would that have been awesome, huh?
The miracle that happened then. That would have been totally awesome to see that. And then they were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, in my previous employment, I kind of knew how it was to be in the inner circle. My boss, two bosses above me, which was the district manager, I had an extremely great working relationship with. I was kind of like in the inner circle. He had his division managers, and he had those people that were around him that he worked with and loved and whatever, but I was special. I wasn't his division manager. I was just a manager, but I had special attention from him. And it made things nice, kind of like, so I knew what James and John and Peter were kind of feeling. This relationship certainly elevated my status. It certainly did. My peers knew that I had this relationship with the boss, not just a boss, the boss, the boss of the whole district. So they knew that what I said was coming from him. And that if they didn't obey what I said, they were in trouble because they had him to answer to and not just me. So it was pretty awesome. I was in his inner circle, so to speak, and it was a very, very beneficial situation. Now, when I refer to the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, I'm not implying that Jesus had favorites or loved one more than the other or whatever, but it is apparent that Peter, James, and John were closer to Jesus than some of the others. Now, the same is true concerning today's disciples. That's us. Today's disciples. Jesus died for us all. But there are some who are closer, a closer walk to thee, to him than others. People say all the time, I want to get closer to Jesus. I want to have that closer walk with thee, God. I really do. I want more of Jesus in my life. How many say that? Okay. Truth is, you have as much of Jesus in your life as you want. So if you don't have enough Jesus in you, it's not because Jesus isn't making himself available. It's because that's as close as you want to walk to the Savior. Period. Right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. You are as close today to Jesus as you want to be. If you really wanted to get close to Jesus, you would take the necessary steps towards getting closer to Jesus. Am I right?
I know.
So you don't even have to say amen.
As the song says,
closer walk with him, closer walk with thee.
When I
walk close to Jesus, you will see things that others will not see. You will see a lot of miracles and amazing things when you walk close to Jesus. You will hear things others don't hear. You walk, have a close walk with Jesus, you will hear things that others are not privileged to hear. Just like when I would go into the district manager's office and he would tell me things, I was privy to things that no one else in the district knew. You will experience things that others do not experience. Period. You don't experience a mom laying in a bed. She didn't know whether she was going to wake up after the surgery because it was that bad. She's on 41 medications. 41. Blood thinners and everything. They said, we can't take this chance. She said, it doesn't matter. I've got Jesus. Praise God. I'm ready to go. So God, it's in your hands. I am in your hands. You don't see those if you don't have a closer walk with thee. You just don't. You don't see that kind of stuff.
You don't experience it. These disciples had to give up some things when they followed Jesus. They really did. They gave up a lot. Gave up livelihoods. But they were blessed beyond measure as a result. Look with me at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to begin in 29. We're going to read down through 31.
And it says,
"And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon, Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came out, and took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them." Wow.
Now, here we have,
see, a personal moment with Jesus. Jesus had just preached in the synagogue a powerful message of authority. If you'd read
down from 21, well, let's read it.
Let's read it. Go back
to 21, verse chapter 1.
It says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine.
For he taught them as one of them, one that had authority and not as the scribes."
He had authority.
He preached. Oh, I would have loved to have been there to hear Jesus preach. Anybody with me? Man,
can you imagine that? I think I'm a good preacher. Amen? All right. Jesus had just preached in the synagogue with power and authority, amazing all those in attendance. I mean, he was really going at it. And he had also cast out demons and devils. If you'd read on, it says that. So they leave and go to Peter and Andrew's house. And when they get there, Peter's mother-in-law is sick, right? And it doesn't tell us how bad she was. It doesn't tell us whether she was sick to death, or whether she just had a little fever, you know. It doesn't tell us that. It doesn't really matter. Just that she had a fever, and he heals her. He says, "Come on, get up.
Get up," right?
Peter probably thinking, wow, he casts out demons.
Fever should be no problem, right?
No problem at all for Jesus. Remember this. Just as no problem is too big for Jesus, no problem is too small for Jesus. You know, I think we tend to pray for miracles like what happened to Scott, and he's back here, what happened to Olive in her operation. We pray for those big things that are happening in our lives, but do we pray for the little ones?
You know, God is a God who cares about every little thing. If he didn't, I'm going to digress for a moment.
I want to tell you a little story. We had a pipe break the other day in the church. Praise God, number one, that we were here. Because if we weren't here, it was a 3/4-inch pipe blowing full blast. And if we weren't here, we would have come in and we would have gone fishing this morning. You think the guys had fish?
We'd have fish
in here. It would have been flooded completely. But I was in my office, and
John L.
was here, and we were both kind of in the office, and we couldn't hear anything. But John L. says, "Well, I'm going to go change the thing down in the hallway." And I said, "Okay." So she walks down. As soon as she's walking down, boom, all of a sudden this pipe bursts and the water's just gushing down out of the ceiling.
She yells and she says, "Ah!" So I hear her screaming and I come down, I shut the water off, I see what's going on.
So we didn't have very much at all. I mean, there was about 100 gallons that spilled out. Praise God. See, he worries. He's concerned about the little things. Can you imagine if that happened on a Sunday morning? Or if that would have happened when we weren't here and it would have run all night long?
No. God's concerned about us. And he had that
perfect timing.
So that no damage. And then we fixed it and we just moved on. But it was awesome.
Jesus cares about the small things. These personal moments are very
special.
Well, this account shows us that we can go to Jesus on our loved one's behalf, too. Peter went
to Jesus on behalf of his mother-in-law. We can go and I can pray for my sister. I can pray for my family. You guys, right? Because he cares that much about me and he cares that much about you that we have that audience. Now, what's pretty awesome, and to give you a visual picture of what it's like, is we get to enter the throne room of Almighty God, who uses this world as a footstool. That's how big he is. That's how magnificent he is. That's how amazing he is. That he could use this earth, this whole earth, that we think is so large, as a footstool. He is the one that told the oceans how far they can come up. He placed all the stars and the sun in the sky. And he told the sun how much you can shine and when to go out and when to give rest. We can go to his throne room and we can ask him and he will answer. Pretty awesome, huh? Pretty awesome. You see, Peter didn't have a close walk with Jesus. If he didn't, he would never have gone to that house that day. See, Jesus would have never gone in and his mother-in-law would have never gotten better. But because of that walk, because of your walk, Jesus goes with you. And he goes into your house. And he goes into your mother-in-law's house. And he's with you. Your relationship with Jesus may have an impact on your loved one's relationship with Jesus. And when you walk close to Jesus, you will experience these personal moments where you can go to him and see him work in your life. What a blessing to experience a personal moment with Jesus. Take a look at verse 32 down through 34. It says, "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him." A public moment with Jesus. A public walk. As we're walking with Jesus, we actually see him now in the public. So they all gathered, huge gatherings outside of Peter's house. Some were sick, some had demons, and others just wanted to come and see what was going on, kind of being spectators. Didn't matter why they were there, they all got to see some pretty amazing miracles. And I'm sure even after seeing the miracles that some were even still skeptical because they all didn't stick around. But there were many who were changed and many who witnessed the miracles. And believe. It's awesome to see Jesus move intimately, right? Have that intimate relationship with Jesus, that close walk with Jesus. That intimate, but it's also a great joy to see him move in large groups. When we see lives changed as a result of his great power. When we join together as a congregation, we get to see that. We get to see souls saved. As a congregation, we get to see miracles like Scott coming back here and Olive being okay. We get to see those miracles. We get to see brothers and sisters mature in their walk. We get to see that. Those are miracles. We get to pray together and see Jesus move in mighty ways. As we walk with Jesus, we get to see a peaceful moment too. Verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." That's pretty cool. He left the others to spend some quality time with Dad. That's what he did. He went off on his own. He wanted some quiet time.
How many here had quiet time this morning with Jesus or last week? Praise God.
We need that. You need that quiet time with him. This is a great example. Jesus is about to embark on his earthly ministry. He's about to go ahead and push off out into the deep. He's about to have his ministry. And what does he do? He prays. Jesus prays. So many times we think we can get it and do this alone, right?
We get up.
We don't
open the book.
We don't pray. We say, I got this one, God. You just stay right there in heaven. When I need you, I'll call you. Or I'll pray to you as soon as I need you. That's kind of pride. And that's what happens.
When we think
that we've got it all together.
Have it all together.
And we don't need Jesus
in that area
because we have it.
And we have things
that we don't need Jesus to take care of.
Pastor Ron and I were talking. Pastor Ron just read a book about Chuck Colson. For those of you who do not know who Chuck Colson was, Chuck Colson was the advisor to President Nixon years ago. Most of you weren't born at that time. But well,
fortunately I was. I got to see all that. I was a teenager.
I was probably a baby.
Yeah. He was the advisor to the President of the United States, probably one of the most powerful men in the world at that time.
And he didn't think that he could ever be compromised. And we talked,
and he was telling me about
some of the stories that Chuck felt that he would
never be compromised, and he wouldn't even take a gift. When he would get, people would bring Christmas gifts or birthday gifts or whatever kind of gifts, he wouldn't even open them. He would take them down and give them to the people who actually worked around the White House and stuff.
To the guards, whatever. He didn't think that he could ever be compromised.
But then he spent some time in prison. He later realized that he was prideful.
And in my own life,
I felt very strong in one area of my life. And I said, you know what?
Nobody can penetrate this area of my life.
Nothing could penetrate this area of my life. I am invincible. Nobody can penetrate this armor that I have built up. And then the fall. If Jesus needed some alone time with his Father,
it is imperative that we do the same thing.
After the business of the previous day, Jesus needed some quiet time with the Father. What a privilege it is that we can go to the throne room and he will hear our requests. We all need
to spend some quiet time,
some peaceful time, some peaceful moments with our Heavenly Father. Take a look
at 36 down to 39.
And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore
came I forth.
Here is another great example to follow.
It's great to have
the personal, the public, and the peaceful moments with Jesus, but there comes a time when we all need to get busy to work. That's what we need to do. We need to get busy. The time spent in prayer or other alone time with the Father prepares us for the purposeful moments or the time spent doing the Father's work. God has not only called us to do his work, but he has equipped us also. He has equipped each and every one of you with special gifts that you need to be using for his work, his kingdom.
Eventually, Jesus
would send his disciples into the world. Take a look
real quick at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 1.
says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The same miracles that amazed everyone in the cities would eventually be performed by these common fishermen, and they can be performed by us folks. The same can be true to us today. You can have a great impact on this world and on the kingdom of God if you allow him to move in your life. So, how's your walk with Jesus? Is it where you want it to be? Think about this. Is it? Is your walk right now as close to Jesus as you would want it to be? Is it where it needs to be? Do you have a personal relationship with him? If it's your desire to have a closer walk with him, the only thing in the way is you. So would you all stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, I don't know everybody here, but there's a possibility that you may not even know who Jesus is. And if you desire to know him, then I'm going to pray just a very simple prayer. I'd like you to pray that prayer along with me. It's just an invitation, inviting Christ into your hearts. And if you'd like to do that, I want you to pray that with me. And for the others, I want you to really evaluate your walk. Is it as close as you want it and desire it? And if it's not, get out of the way. And then I'm going to have you guys just pray and just ask God. Say, God, I just need a closer walk with you. Show me how to do it. For those of you who do not know Jesus over your life, I want to pray this prayer. And I want you to pray along with me. I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. And I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and I invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Pray that prayer this morning. Would you raise your hand? Lift your hand up. I see that. Praise God.
Well, I'm going to
be quiet
for a little while
as the band plays softly. Your desire is to grow close.
You may have a close,
very, very close walk with Jesus right now.
But you've got to always get a little closer. And if that's your desire, the altar's open.
Hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He say, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for caring enough about me to send your son to die for me on the cross. Thank you for loving me that much. God, I want a closer walk with you. That's my desire, and the desire for this flock, this family, your family, Lord. I desire them to have a closer walk with you, to have an intimate walk with Almighty God, Creator of heaven, Creator of earth, Creator of all things. God, thank you. Thank you for allowing us be able to step into your throne room and speak to you on a personal basis, on a personal level. God, we love you so much. As we walk out of here today,
we have our desire to walk closely.
And it's in Christ's name we pray.